Pretty fancy prices here.
Yeah, well, just so we're clear, I am picking up the tab tonight.
Okay.
This is my celebration. I invited you.
Fine.
So don't go grabbing the check.
I won't touch the check.
Jake has a spoon on his nose.
You want to leave the tip? That would be fine.
I could do that.
I usually leave 15%, but if you want to leave 20, that's your call.
Thank you.
Unless you think it's easier if we just split the check.
Whatever.
Of course, in many families, if someone is celebrating some good news, his brother would insist on buying dinner.
Then why don't I do that?
But I'll leave the tip.
One question.
What?
Do you have any money?
No.
They haven't noticed the spoon dangling from Jake's nose.
I left my wallet at home.
You mean this wallet?
Charlie flings a wallet onto the table in front of Ellen, who feigns surprise.
You found it. I was looking all over. So, where did we leave things? You're paying, we're splitting.
Oh, just shut up. So anyway, what's this good news you're celebrating?
It's a surprise. I want to wait till Mom gets here. Yes, Jake, we see the spoon on your nose. Now stop it.
Can you do it?
I don't want to do it. Now behave yourself.
Charlie puts a spoon on his nose.
Don't work with me.
Mother Evelyn arrives.
Just wonderful. You pick a restaurant that has no valet. I had to park 3 blocks away and then schlep here in shoes that are not made for walking. I've got a blister the size of a communion wafer. And if Mommy doesn't get something to drink immediately, things are going to get very ugly.
Let the celebration begin.
Maybe the lesson here, Mom, is to buy shoes that are made for walking.
She looks at Charlie.
Is it just me?
In a perfect world, it would be.
Well, anyway, I'm here. So what's your big announcement, Alan? Jake, get that spoon off your nose. You don't know where it's been.
It's been on my nose.
I really must start looking at trade schools for the boy.
Well, now that we are all here, I have some good news to share. This is not going to be out on the newsstands for a couple of days, but I have an advanced copy.
A free newspaper with a picture of him on the front and the headline, Alan Harper.
Good doctor, good neighbor, good guy.
Good God.
Good guy, you're famous.
Well, not really. Well, among the readers of the Tarzana Penny Saver, maybe a little.
Don't forget the homeless people who make underpants out of it.
Charlie, don't be disrespectful.
Thank you, Mom.
So, how much advertising did you have to buy in exchange for this puff piece?
Why do you assume that I had to buy advertising? Is it that hard to believe that a local newspaper might run a cover story about a successful local chiropractor?
Well, frankly, yes. Unless the local chiropractor shot 4 people to death in a mini-mart and then turned the weapon on himself.
You know, I get why Charlie has never been able to acknowledge my accomplishments. He's a self-centered hedonist who can't get behind anyone unless they're drunk and bent over a pool table.
That's fair.
But my own mother,
you're up.
Refusing to even feign interest.
I did so feign interest.
You assumed I had to buy advertising to get the article.
Well, did you?
Neighborhood advertising is a good investment. But that is not the point.
All right, dear, what is the point?
The point is that I can't even get a simple attaboy from my own mother.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. Attaboy.
Feel better?
No, I do not feel better.
Did I not say it right?
You know what? Forget it. Let's just order, eat, and get out of here.
A waiter passes.
One more of these, and please keep them coming. I'll buy the drinks, unless you want to split it with me.
2.5 Men, created by Chuck Lorre and Lee Aronson. Cool Charlie, Young Jake, and Drunk Alan arrive home.
And you know what else? You know what else?
No, Alan. What else?
I cannot believe that our mother made us carry her to her car just because she had a teeny little blister on her foot.
Well, hopefully the next time we have to carry her, she'll be in a handy urn.
Charlie sits Alan on the couch.
I'll pay for the urn if you get the cremation.
Done.
Jake, where's my son?
Right here, Dad.
Oh, good, good. Now listen, boy. Your old dad is not going to be here for...
Alan stumbles, then steadies himself. He sits on the arm of the couch by Jake, who's standing.
He's not going to be here forever. And when I'm gone, I want there to be no doubt in your mind that I was as proud as punch about all of your accomplishments, no matter how minuscule.
Boy, you're really plowed, aren't you?
No, your daddy doesn't get plowed. He just gets a little bzzz.
Little fat Jake just stares at his dad.
Bzzz. Anyway, the important thing for you to know is how much I love you.
You told the waiter you loved him, too.
He was a very good waiter. And it's also important for you to know that you can be anything you want, anything in the world.
No, I can't.
You're right, that's a crock. But I love you. And you have cheeks like a beaver. Now go ahead.
You know, Dad, we've been learning about alcohol abuse at school. Hmm? And if you ever need a new liver, you can have half of mine.
Hey. I thought we had a deal.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Dad.
Jake goes.
Best $5 I ever spent. Now, come on. Let's tuck you into bed.
Can't my mother appreciate me? All I wanted was one sincere attaboy. Was that too much to ask?
Alan vomits into the toilet.
Attaboy.
Sitting on the edge of the bath, Charlie raises his glass. Alan's on his knees.
Well, that looks like the last of the scallops. Now all I gotta do is wait for dessert.
Rainbow sherbet.
Oh, that should be pretty.
You know? I have spent my entire life trying to please Mom, to make her proud of me, but no more. I am done trying.
Good for you.
Oh, excuse me.
He leans over the toilet, waits, then leans up again.
Nope.
You know, if you put the seat down, it's easier to rest your arms.
Oh, you're right. You're a wise man, Charlie Harper.
Well, I do have a few pockets of specialized knowledge. Some might call it wisdom.
And it seems warmer, too.
It's further away from the cooling effect of the water. Not to mention the residual body heat accrued from thousands of ass hours.
Wow. You've really given a lot of thought to this.
I'm thinking of writing a book.
And I will read it.
Thank you.
You know what I am, Charlie?
Yes.
I am a pathological people pleaser.
Oh, I had an entirely different answer.
But more accurately, I am a woman pleaser.
No, Alan, I am a woman pleaser. You're a lonely guy speckled with vomit.
No, I'm not speaking physically. I'm speaking psychologically. With Mom, with Judith, I mean, with every woman I've ever met. I have twisted myself into knots just trying to get them to like me. I mean, my education, my job, my clothes, my car, my very behavior. All chosen simply to get women to approve of me.
And how's that worked out for you?
They don't approve of me. But I am going to change, Charlie. I am no longer going to grovel for Mom's approval or the approval of any woman. I am going to live the remainder of my life with pride and a quiet, noble dignity.
He slumps his face down onto the toilet seat and closes his eyes.
But first, I'll sleep with my head in the crapper.
Drink in hand, Charlie gets up, flushes the toilet, switches off the light, and walks out. As he shuts the door, the toilet lid drops onto Alan's head. Next morning, waves roll onto the beach. Alan's a twitchy, dark-eyed wreck. He sits at the breakfast table clutching a mug of coffee as Jake spoons coloured crunchy snacks into his mouth.
Can I make you some oatmeal?
Not cereal.
I know. I just thought you might enjoy something hot. And quiet.
Nope. Do you have a hangover?
Yeah. Drinking that much was a stupid thing to do.
Then why'd you do it?
I don't know, Jake. Maybe I'm just stupid.
Or maybe you just don't apply yourself.
Can we stop talking for a while?
Okay. Although I do like a little conversation at breakfast.
Morning, everybody.
Shh, he's hungover.
Oh, yeah. Well, isn't this an ironic turn of events? Me waking up feeling all bright and chipper and you looking like a stool sample. Not a big irony fan, huh?
Charlie?
Yeah?
Either stop talking or at least have the decency to kill me.
Boy, I'm never gonna drink.
Good job. You scarred the kid for life. Now he's gonna have to face junior high sober.
Just tell me one thing.
What's that?
Did I really tell the waiter I loved him last night?
You had to say something after a kiss like that.
I took care of your bathroom.
Thank you.
I hope you like the smell of pine-scented puke.
Berta squirts some air freshener.
So, did I do anything else I'm gonna regret?
Oh, you paid for dinner.
Oh, jeez.
Alan grimaces.
And after we got home, there was some drunken blubbering about how you weren't gonna grovel for the approval of women anymore.
All right. I almost forgot. I had a life-changing epiphany last night.
Was this before or after you yacked up a hunk of your esophagus?
No, it's no joke. I've reached a turning point. From this day on, my actions will no longer be predicated on pleasing the castrating mother figures in my life. What's so funny?
Nothing.
Berta walks out, grinning.
I think she doubts your epiphany.
She'll see. They'll all see. Starting now, I am a new Alan.
Damn, I think I wet myself.
Starting now, I will fear no woman's disapproval. Oh, God, that's Judith. I was supposed to have Jake ready. She's gonna kill me.
Charlie rolls his eyes.
Okay, starting now.
Good for you.
Oh, I better get that.
Let her wait. What she thinks of you doesn't matter. The only thing that counts is what you think of you.
You're right. It's what I think of me.
Alan thinks and his face falls.
I had so much potential.
Okay, forget what you think of you.
Yeah, I'm probably too close to me to see me clearly.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, do I smell like vomit?
Don't worry, I'll stand next to you. She'll assume it's me.
Good. Good.
In his pajamas, he opens the front door.
Hi, Alan. Jake ready?
No, he is not.
You said you'd have him ready.
Alan looks at Charlie for help.
Well, I don't. And if that makes you unhappy with me, well, I don't give a rat's furry ass.
What did you just say to me?
Nothing, I'm sorry. Jake!
Starting now?
Starting soon.
Alan runs. Judith wrinkles her nose.
You know what that smell is? Epiphany. For men.
Charlie grins.
So, how long you been in Los Angeles?
About 8 months. Haven't got a single audition yet.
Yeah, this can be a tough town when you don't know anybody.
Sitting at a bar, Charlie smiles and nods at the pretty girl, then turns to Alan, then back to the girl.
Did he have, like, a headshot or a resume?
Is he okay?
I don't know. Sir, are you okay?
I thought we came here to talk,
not to each other.
Charlie turns back to the girl, who's turned to another guy. Charlie wearily shakes his head.
All right, let's talk. What's bothering you?
I changed my mind. I don't want to talk about it.
Talk or die.
All right. I'm depressed. I want to change, but I can't. Whenever I'm confronted by a disapproving woman, something inside me just crumbles.
Well, Alan, maybe that's just who you are. You know? Fish gotta swim, birds gotta fly, you gotta crumble.
What I don't understand is that I can intellectually see the problem, but I just can't do anything about it. Oh, excuse me, miss. Can I have more of these little pretzels, please?
In a minute.
Okay, sorry. No hurry.
Look, it's very simple. You were conditioned as a child to seek mom's approval. You're still seeking mom's approval, and you make every woman in the world a substitute mom.
But what about you? We had the same mother.
Well, I handle my conditioning in a different way. I have casual and often degrading sex with my substitute moms, but we're talking about you and not me, so forget I said that.
Charlie sips his drink.
Oh, how I'll try. But how do you deal with the fear of disapproval? I mean, you must get shot down occasionally.
Occasionally? Constantly.
Constantly?
Occasionally. It's a numbers game, Alan. We all want the shiny apple on top of the tree. But sometimes you gotta settle for one on a lower branch. And of course, there's times when you just gotta pick up whatever's lying on the ground and put it in your mouth.
But how do you manage to keep going on in the face of constant rejection?
Occasional rejection. Okay, lesson one. Look around. Out of all the women here, which one do you find the most attractive?
Let's see,
Alan surveys the attractive women in the room. One of them notices and rolls her eyes, then shrugs dismissively at him. He carries on looking, and a woman with long black hair smiles sweetly at him. Alan looks back at the woman who rolled her eyes at him.
Her.
The brunette? Why?
I don't know. There's just something about her.
Yeah, radiating waves of contempt.
Well, you asked me who I found attractive.
That's true. That's true. All right. She's your shiny apple. Now go ask her if you can buy her a drink.
What about the radiating waves of contempt?
That's just a defense mechanism for a little girl in a lot of pain.
Really?
How the hell should I know? The point is, you can't let fear stand in your way.
She rolls her eyes again.
Well, I disagree.
Are you questioning my methods? Because we can stop right now.
No, I'll do it. I'll do it.
As Alan goes, the blonde barmaid puts a basket in front of Charlie.
Would you like some more pretzels?
Well, I am in the mood for something salty and twisted.
You're terrible.
You have no idea.
They share a saucy smile. Alan walks back stiffly.
How'd it go?
She's really got a mouth on her.
So she rejected you?
With anatomical specificity.
Good.
Good? How is that good?
How do you feel right now?
What do you mean, how do I feel? I feel humiliated.
Where?
What?
Where is the humiliation? Where do you feel it?
Well, let's see. My stomach's all knotted. My heart is pounding. I'm sweating like a pig.
Okay. End of lesson one.
That was lesson one? Lesson one sucked.
Lesson two. Have a drink. No, sweetheart. Have a real drink.
Holding his wine, Alan points at Charlie's drink.
I don't like scotch.
It's okay. It's bourbon.
Oh. All right.
Alan sips some and recoils.
Yeah.
More.
Alan gulps some more.
How do you feel now?
Feel a little better.
Finish the drink.
Can I put some Diet Sprite in it?
Just finish it.
Alan finishes the drink and grimaces.
There you go. Now, how do you feel?
I feel pretty good. Like, you know, to hell with her. Who cares what she thinks?
Perfect. Now go ask that chick over there if you can buy her a drink.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. That's your big secret? Alcohol?
Shh. Don't tell anybody.
But isn't that just a temporary solution?
It's only temporary if you stop drinking.
I like it.
Alan goes off on his mission. Charlie shakes his head.
Diet Sprite.
Later, Alan has his head down the toilet. He's puking. Charlie's on the edge of the bath, drinking.
I gotta hand it to you, Alan. Most guys will be off scallops for a long time.
I like scallops.
Clearly, they don't like you. I guess you choose your seafood like you choose your women.
I beg to differ. When it comes to women, I make them sick.
Alan wisely taps his head.
Fair enough. So, what else did we learn tonight?
Well, let's see. I learned that to overcome my fear of rejection ingrained in me by an emotionally distant mother, I need to completely disable my central nervous system with semi-lethal quantities of alcohol.
The beauty who shunned Alan appears.
Hey, Charlie. You coming to bed or what?
I'll be there in a second.
What are you looking at?
Sorry, very sorry.
So how have you been?
She rolls her eyes and goes. Alan grins.
It worked. I am totally humiliated and I don't care.
You made real progress tonight, Alan. I'm proud of you.
Thanks, Charlie. You're a good teacher and a good brother.
Thanks. Mm. Well, I guess it's time for me to go work out my issues. Good night, pal.
As he goes, the lid drops on Alan's head. ITFC audio description.